building up a generation. Plant seeds for a new foundation. Take you from rags to riches. Right now, gonna build these bridges. Straight facts, cutting through the airwaves. No limit, making gold from your spare change. Cash flow rolling in like a riptide. Let's go, now's the time. You came for the remedy, leaving a legacy. Real money radio, a future you can hold.
Good morning and welcome to Real Money Radio. I am Tanya Escobel with Cross Country Mortgage. In with me is my wonderful co-host, Roy Matlock Jr. And I'm so excited about our show today. I mean, I love educating people anyway, so I'm always excited about the show. But we have Lee Linhart here that is franchise owner with Remaxes across four different states, probably dabbling into a fifth state pretty soon. So it's such an honor to have you here today to be our guest. And one of the things that we talk about is how do we build wealth? You know, our education system, me and you talk about this, Roy. And it, actually, it's interesting. I was in an Uber yesterday. I'm just Ubering around because parking is crazy. It's like $65 here, $40 here. And they don't teach you in school or college about real estate or about life insurance or about annuities or about stocks and bonds. And so how do people start to build wealth? How do you become an entrepreneur? And so that is where Lee has such a wonderful story of where he started his life. You started, you know, I used to literally... I would break down. I did a four-hour commute a day, and I would break down and have to hitchhike sometimes to get to work.
Yep.
So, you know, a lot of people think, oh, you're wealthy, but no, you start somewhere, and you try to figure out the plan. And one of our things on this show is to teach real estate, to teach the financial side that you know and that you're strong in, but also to teach entrepreneurs how to be successful in their business, because how many people jump into wanting to own their own business and then they fail after 12 months or 24 months. And so that is our show. That's the foundation of it, is to how to teach them to build that wealth and to bring on people that have, you know, grassroots and built their business.
And one of the key elements to it always begins with earning money, and you got to figure out how to earn money. And I've always believed this, that, you know, your money is tied to what you like doing to begin with. And then once you like it, you'll get good at it, and then you can get more value. And it sounds like, you know, I'm excited to listen to what he's done. So let's get to the main part.
On the main stage. You're our perfect guest for the show today.
You may go to sleep on this one. I don't know. Either cry or laugh or whatever. But how far back do you want me to start?
To start from the beginning.
Okay. Yeah, like you were born at Baptist Hospital. Is
Houston.
That what it was?
Pasadena Bay Shore Hospital in Pasadena, Texas.
Okay, Pasadena,
Dad
Texas.
Dad was an engineer for NASA.
Okay.
That's probably the last time he really worked. So we stayed broke most of our life. I grew up, I was born in Houston, and then moved back to Hendersonville, North Carolina, near Asheville.
Mm-hmm.
I had a dad who was, he didn't like to work a whole lot.
Okay.
He wanted to pretend. He wanted to run. He was a contractor.
So you can always learn from people.
Well, you learn what not to do.
You either learn what to do or what not to do.
Well,
right?
he wanted to. He had his truck, and he was pretending he was going to fix something, and he was out cheating people. And I learned that I never wanted to cheat people.
Right.
He did it. He finally, ultimately, caught up with him. He committed suicide when I was 15, so that took the problem out. But so left four kids and a wife with no money. Had no, obviously, no insurance. So I had to raise my little sisters, raise my brother. Mom worked. I worked from the time I got off the bus until 10 o'clock. Today they'd probably kill me, but I would take the cash till we had a little convenience store, and I'd have to walk home. And I thought, gosh, you do that today, you're dead.
Right.
So, but it did teach me work ethic. The funny thing is I was an introvert. And my mom and my grandmother, rest her soul, was not. And so I went and said, I don't want to talk to people. She said, son, you're going to starve to death unless you learn how to talk to people.
Mm. Yeah. They say timid salespeople have skinny children.
That is correct.
Something I think is
it was. Well, she said, you're not going to eat. And so I went in and, hi, how you doing? She said, no, son, that's not the way we do it. We want to talk about them. We want to talk about their lives, what's going on in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I started talking. And I haven't shut up since. But you learn to connect.
So, and how old were you then, 15?
We started that store at probably, I was probably about 12.
Okay.
So you had a 12-year-old telling you doing a grocery store or convenience store and then walking home at night.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy. The only respite I had was baseball, which was fun. I could get out of work a little bit and then come off baseball and then go to work. Mm-hmm. But what it did is it taught me to connect with people. We had some great old-timers that would come in and they would tell you these stories that were wonderful, their experiences and stuff like that. So I learned to connect, and I learned to genuinely care about what they did. Now, we were on food stamps. It was a hard time. We were on WIC, I guess they call it, and then we had government cheese. Mm-hmm. We just didn't have the money mm-hmm. after he, you know, we had no money. Mm-hmm. Thank goodness for my grandparents. We stayed with them. But what it taught me was there's nothing wrong. There's nothing bad about being poor. You can be clean, poor, and all that stuff. What it teaches is you don't want to stay there.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So you need to figure out a way.
The struggle is your story.
Yeah.
You know, that you get to tell, you know, if you don't stop.
You can quit.
Yeah.
You can rely on the government for, I guess we could have stayed on. And I remember mom saying distinctively, we're not staying this way. Mm-hmm. We're not staying this way. And so, again, there's nothing wrong with being poor. Been there, done that. I had to have used shoes. I mean, I remember my grandmother taking me, it's called Depot Salvage, and it was used clothes and used shoes.
Did that many times.
And I don't regret it. Mm-hmm. I don't regret it. We were loved. We were cared for. Mm-hmm. We had a roof over our head, thanks to our grandparents. But it gives you a perspective of gratitude.
Yeah.
I'm grateful for each and every day. And so I was really good at baseball. I could have played for the Mets, Reds, and the Cards out of high school. Decided I wanted to go to college. Wasn't the brightest in high school, as far as I don't want to be told what to do or what books to read or whatever that kind of stuff is. I like mm-hmm. what I like. So I went and I thought, I played for them, and the first thing the coach says is, hey, we're going to take your test for you. I'm not going to say what school, but they got in trouble for that later on.
Yeah, I'm sure it had something to do with SEC, probably.
Yeah, it is. It's exactly what it does. So it was.
Back in the days.
And I said, you know, coach, I don't want to do that. I want to have an education. I said, I could have gone pro already. And decided that baseball wasn't the path for me because I didn't want that kind of lifestyle and I really wanted to learn. So mm-hmm. I had to teach myself to speed read, had to teach myself to study because I sure didn't do it in high school,
mm-hmm.
Which gave me some concepts of business. Now, I think school, college, and everything's wonderful, but I don't think it prepares you for life.
No.
Mm-mm.
I think life prepares you for life. You're going to have to fall. I tell you, I think I've done everything the wrong way in life. But I've learned you only do something wrong and it be badly wrong once. And so.
And you need to do it quickly.
You do. And you need to recover quickly.
And you need to pay attention to the feedback you're getting. You know, I see people all the time, they just never analyze what's going on. I mean, I do a lot of marketing. And the first thing we do on marketing is we spend money and did it make any money? And right. if it doesn't make any money, you know what we do? We change the course because mm-hmm. you're going to – but people don't take failure or feedback and do anything with it.
Well, it gets into ego.
Yeah.
They know the best way. When you sit – the quiet person a lot of times is probably the smartest person in the room. They listen. Yeah.
Right.
And, yeah, you're right. You look at the numbers. Well, what happened with us is – I've been in real estate for, good gosh, 35 years now. I've sold $500 million in real estate in a small town of Hendersonville.
Right.
That's an itty-bitty town. And I'm not saying that braggadociously, but it taught me how to deal with people. And the cool thing is I got to work with wealthy people.
Right.
And you start those conversations on how did you get there?
Yeah.
What did it look like? So it starts – you start to – pull back that curtain, because there's a curtain for the most of the public. You never see behind the curtain.
Right.
You see the day-to-day grind, and there's no big plan. He's like, I get up, brush my teeth, eat my breakfast, go to work, come home. Mm-hmm. That is a life. You can choose that life. I did not want that life. I wanted to experience all the bumps, the bruises, the victories, and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And then, even more importantly, now in my older life, I want to share it.
Right.
I think God gives you gifts, and I've always said this, your gifts are not for you. It's for others around you.
Mm-hmm.
So I've learned what not to do in the business and ultimately learned what to do. And that's why I don't want to retire.
No, why would you retire? I mean, I'm 65. People ask, why don't you retire? I'm like, I played 92 rounds of golf in the last 12 months. I mean, on my handicap thing, and I like working. And you know, the other thing I wanted to bring out our listeners, you know, we do the show. It airs on Sunday morning.
Mm-hmm.
But it's 7 a.m. right now in Nashville when we're recording this. And so you think about, here we are up early.
Mm-hmm.
This is what – and this is nothing new, you know? I mean, you get up, you're on your game, and a lot of people are sleeping and they're thinking, you know, why am I not making any money and why don't I have anything? Because they just – they think about stuff, but they never – actually act on it. And
yeah.
So
I think sometimes looking back is like, because my grandparents raised me and I won't get into my past, but I look at some of my family members and I want to help them so much. I'm like, come in the mortgage business. Like, look, you know,
right.
You don't go to college and you check a box for real estate or check a box for mortgages. But it is such a wonderful opportunity to have flexibility. It's a lot of mental stress. But you meet so many people,
right?
You help accomplish their goals, but they just get stuck in the system. And even like my own family sometimes, even though they saw what I went through and where I'm at today, they're still stuck. And yeah. It's like, what is that mentality? What is that difference? And how do you get them over that? And now I see, you know, their children being in the same pattern. And I'm like, you know, they had me speak at, you know, the high school graduation little party that they wanted to do at my house. And they had me speak to each kid. And so I went, talked to each kid and was like, what do you want to be when you grow up? How are you going to get there? What does this look like? How does this look? And then it was like, everyone was like, and then they asked me to come back and speak again for the second one.
Right.
Because they just don't get that knowledge in school. They think they're doing great. They've got A's on their report card or this, but they just don't understand. I had one of them say, you know, he's talking about, I want to be an entrepreneur. I want to own my own business and I'm doing a landscaping company. And I'm like, well, have you talked to a CPA? And they're like, what's a CPA? They just don't have those tools or knowledge. But the question is, how do you get them out of that system?
Well, the system is people are told, you know, the first thing they're told is, you know, taught as a kid is to open a savings account. So the parents will take them down to the bank.
And I don't even know if they do that anymore.
All right. Well, that's typically, you know, where do you think about your money? You say, well, I'm going to open a bank account.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so we're going to loan our money at 1%, okay, to a bank and then borrow it back on a credit card or a car payment later at 13 to 20%.
Mm-hmm.
So we're told to open a bank account, go to college, get a good job that's got benefits. And if you follow that system, more than likely, you're going to be right dead in the center of the middle class, living paycheck to paycheck,
mm-hmm.
and you never take risk, okay? You're anti-risk, and then you sit there and you're like, what is going on here? I did it all right, and now you get to work for the next 10 years paying off the student loans on the degree that mm-hmm. you, in many cases, they didn't even get. They got the yeah. loans on the degree that didn't get. They didn't even graduate, and they're like, what the heck is going on? And so I think you got to just, you know, and I would bet, Lee, you're a big reader. Am I correct?
I am not.
Are you not?
I listen, though.
You do a lot of listening,
yeah.
Okay.
So audio books and stuff like that.
I don't know how many hours every day. You know, I've got my list, you know, my reading list on all of the different. So when I'm on social, if I'm on a social media deal, it feeds me the stuff that, you know, from mm-hmm. business and you know, I went in and it opened up on Instagram an algorithm. It said, here's your algorithm. Mm-hmm. And the algorithm was health and fitness, golf, okay, mindset, okay, sales,
exactly. And that's
financial
advisor.
Those are the only things. Mm-hmm. When it gets mm-hmm. fed in there, the only thing that I'm receiving, I got that on my Apple News. I got that on every social. So if I'm looking at mm-hmm. social media, I take every day, and I've got my list of ideas
mm-hmm.
grows every day
right.
because I'm feeding myself the right kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you don't do that, you are social media is the biggest time waster that's ever been on the planet. You know, so anyway.
I was watching something the other day, and I'm like you. All my stuff is business and fitness and all that stuff. So I was watching a guy. You can learn from any business.
Right.
And this guy started shrimping down in Texas, Galveston, in that area, years ago. And to hear the guy tell how the state went against him, he was a shrimper.
Yep.
And he wanted had to beat the system. And now this guy's, he's probably in his 60s. But to listen to his tale on how his business went, mm-hmm. I thought, man, he stuck it to the man. He made a fortune.
Wow.
But just to see his challenge.
Yeah. Grow. All right, we got to take a break. Stay tuned. You're listening to Real Money Radio. We'll be right back.
All right, we're back. Roy Matlock Jr. here, and I'm with Tanya Escobel, and with us is Real Money Radio. And Lee, if you're just tuning in, entrepreneur, Remax, great story. And so we're going to, if you're out here right now and you're trying to move forward, this should give you some insight on how you go from maybe just getting by doing things to, you know, stepping it up, your game up. And, you know, I always believe that some of the choices you make are just a few right decisions to be able to go and change things. So, Lee, talk about some of the things that, you know, if you look back over your career, if you didn't do two or three of them, what would have happened, and what are the ones that caused massive change in where you're at?
Okay. I'll tell you, there's a couple points. There's always those pivotal points. So my mom owned the company that I worked for. She had an independent real estate company, and I was her top producer. She had my stepfather was an older fella, and he passed away. I had done real well in real estate. He passed away, and she said, "Do you want to buy the business?" And I said, at the time, I was probably, we just had kids, so early 30s. And I said, no, I don't. I want to continue my career. But so she sold it to another firm, a national firm. And I was pleased with that. So, and you're going to think this is crazy, but it was December, cold in the mountains. Right. I had no money at the time. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? And I literally hit my knees. Not to sound like I'm preaching, but hit my knees and I said, "God, you know, I have not been a good steward of money." And I said, "I tell you, I got to change something. You got to show me how to do it. I work hard. I believe I do." So that was at 11:15. Never forget it. At 7:30 in the morning, a little cute German lady that I had sold years ago called me and said, "I need you to come by my house." And I said, no. "I'll sell your house. I don't buy houses." She said, "No. You're coming," in that German accent, "you're coming to buy my house, and you're going to rent it to me." I thought, okay, I'll go. So I went, and she didn't have a lot of money. And I said, "Barbara, I'm not in the business of buying houses." She says, "You are today." I thought, you know, I said that prayer last night. Changed my life. I said, okay, let me put it together. So I go. I said, "Barbara, I'll tell you what, I'm going to go write an offer, and mm-hmm. I'll come back before dinner, and we'll get it signed, and we'll do it." So I go back over there, and I kid you not, there was a sign in the yard next door, and it was the ugliest house. We called it Hockey Brown House. That thing was nasty. Squirrels living inside.
Oh, my gosh.
And I said, "Lord, are you telling me that you want me to buy a Hockey Brown House and this house?" So I called the agent. Pat was her name. I said, "Pat, I don't have any money, but I said this prayer last night, and I'm supposed to call you about buying this house. I've got $2,500. And she said, "Lee, are you drunk?" I said, "No, I'm just telling you, this is my prayer." So she said, "I'll present it." And I said, "It's FB owner financing." She came back 20 minutes later and said, "They know who you are." And they said, "They'll be happy to sell you that house." I bought one house or one property, multifamily and all, a month for the next 4 years.
Yep.
Third one I bought, and no offense, Tanya, regular bankers mm-hmm. just get on my nerves.
Mm-hmm.
So I had the president of a bank come and said, "Hey, can I take you to lunch?" "Nope, don't want to eat with the mayor, just upset my stomach."
Mm-hmm.
He said, "I think you need to go." So he took me and tried to wind me and dime me at a country club, which I was, I'm uncomfortable in those situations. And he said, what do you want to do? I said, I want to own Hendersonville, North Carolina. He said, and they can't do it anymore. He said, the vault's open. I said, what'd you just say? He said, you buy whatever you want. You tell me how much you got down. And I kid you not, from that one prayer, I end up buying 40. I think we have now 58 or 60 places, which is my retirement.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one step that was amazing for me. The second step is when I started Remax, and I don't care what franchise, it doesn't really matter, but I had this wild hair that I was. I had a little independent company, and I did. It was me and my wife and a couple friends, and so I said, let me do a Remax. Let me just go ahead. Heck yeah, I'm going to be international because we were independent. I'm going to be, yeah. So I had six people. What an idiot I was. Well, one of them died, and the other moved away. So I had four people. My wife said, what are you doing? I said, I guess I'm going bankrupt. And she said, then you need to get off your tail and go start recruiting.
Yep.
So I started recruiting, and I kid you not, it felt like manna from heaven. We started having agents, and we shared what we were doing and how we were doing it. And then we became one of the fastest-growing Remaxes in North America.
Yep. Recruiting will solve a lot. You know, the one that has – you think about my business, I have recruited over 20,000
agents. You've done much better than I have.
Agents and advisors since I've been in business. And I always tell people, you say, what is recruiting? Well, I mean, that's why they have a draft every year for the NFL. Right. And that's mm-hmm. why they have, you know, a new, you know, people retire. You've got to always be finding, you know, people. And I've always believed this, that the one that has the most qualified, sharp people always wins, you know?
Well, it's like we used to say in baseball, you know, you can have the worst team in the world, but if you can hit home runs, you're going to win a game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so that's what you do. You try to
get some hitters.
Yeah, you do. And so we recruited, did pretty well, and opportunities started opening up. Well, one day, this guy called me from Knoxville. And you got to think, we still weren't huge. I mean, we were Greenville, South Carolina, which we started from zero. And so this guy called me and said, hey, I would like for you to buy my franchise. I've got 60 agents, which seemed like a million to me at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But I listened to him and met with him. I'm telling you what, you're talking about nervous? I was nervous. So we worked out a deal, and I went to speak at the place where we were having lunch to unveil me. And he had not told a soul. Their faces, I felt like I was going to die that day.
They hadn't told that you were buying the business.
No, they told him right then.
So, by the way.
He said, yeah, by the way.
Here's a new guy.
Yeah. He said, we no longer own it. This guy does. And they look at me.
And they're like, just like.
Well, oh, no. The hate was seething.
Oh, no.
And I thought, I'm going to die. Well, we did not lose one person. I had to speak very quickly mm-hmm. and apologize for the abrupt manner in which it was handled. But what that did is from that situation, which was probably the worst you could ever have in that kind of setup.
Mm-hmm.
Showed me something that this is the way you're going to grow. Not onesies, twosies, but 60s, 50s, mm-hmm. hundreds. We're mm-hmm. working on one right now that's 262. So that's how you grow.
So what do you give, you know, one of the things that I've, you know, the GPS and the GPS in your car, you put it in and it tells you, you tell it where you want to go, and then it gives you the how you get there, the directions, and it gives you a schedule.
The fastest way, the shortest way, highways.
Yeah, and so all that kind of stuff. And so I kind of renamed the GPS to the goal, the plan, the schedule. So here's where I want to go. Here's my plan of action. Here's my schedule. So what do you do during the day? Like when you wake up, you know, I believe the most important of all things, and we'll probably have to get into this in the next segment, I think the most important thing is the schedule, all right, out of all of it. Because people just never get around to doing things. And, you know, I have this routine that I do every week, and we can talk about that. But I want to get into that because one of the things I believe more than anything is that people just don't get around to doing anything. And so maybe we can roll into that. I will roll right out. Yeah. We'll be right back. This is Real Money Radio. You can go to realmoneyradio.info. Tanya is mortgage, real estate. I'm in the financial advisory. Reach all of us, and we'll be right back in just a short break. All right, we're back. Roy Matlock Jr. here. I'm here with my co-host Tanya Escobel, and we have Lee Linhart here. And if you are, you know, thinking about starting a business, or if you're in business, this should be a great show for you. And then we add personal finance and real estate and everything there is to do with it. But when we came out of the break, I talked about the GPS. And the goal, the plan, the schedule is kind of the GPS that I use now when I'm working with people. So talk about, you know, when you put together, so you've got a plan and you want to do stuff. Tell me some of the key elements. And then we talked about schedule, how important that is.
Well, and I believe, you know, and I'll kind of start off with, I have a daughter who is brilliant, absolutely brilliant. Dreams, comes up with ideas. Problem is, she can't implement them. She right. has no plan. And that has always bothered me. My son will plan. Matter of fact, he right now is at Duke and may possibly have a cure for lung cancer.
There you go.
That boy always had a plan. So he learned, his sister did not. But I think you have to set out where you want to go in life. And really and truly, I think you need to set a goal that's higher than your true goal. Okay. I you know, in my mind, I'm thinking I want to dominate the South in real estate. And I guess that's really, in my heart of hearts, I would love to do it. And it's not for ego, it's for agents. But in doing that, how am I able to get to that point? And the biggest thing for me is, and I literally continually update my schedule and my things every day, but I figure out how many conversations I have to have in a day.
Right.
How many mergers and acquisitions, because that's really what I'm doing.
Right.
Is I'm acquiring these offices if their culture matches. So every day I have to plan that. I have to also know that I have to give certain time to agents because I broker 7 different firms myself. So if you will allocate that space needed and have a tight schedule, I only sleep 2 hours a night. I sleep from 11 to 1. So I work 22 hours a day. I just do. And it sounds crazy, but I went out of college. I worked for Arthur Anderson, a very big accounting firm, years ago. And they said, do you know why we hired you guys? And I'm like, why did you? Well, because we're smart and we're, you know. I said, no, you guys work at 80% pressure. You don't crack and you don't sleep. You don't require a lot of sleep. Well, they knew that. That was how their goal to get us. So I have trained myself to go and figure out what tasks, and what I do is, and I think this is the way I've always done it, is I do the tasks I don't want to do first. When I'm up, right, it's the tasks that I don't want to do, what are the crummiest ones I do to attain my goal, and then I make it easy throughout the day. But I literally, and it's funny for people who watch me, I utilize just about every minute of every day.
Right.
It's scheduled ahead of time. I usually do it the day before, if not even the week before, depending on what comes up. I have 3 people that, which is crazy to me because I usually keep everything in my head on my calendar. They schedule my calendar with alarms on it. So I literally am in a meeting, a different meeting every 30 minutes during the day. You got a bathroom break, I think they put in, and a little bit of lunch meeting. And that's about all the time.
So I'll tell you a story. And if you want to, and I'll, in the break, I'll tell you how, but I met actually a girl that was from Greenville. And so she grew up and her dad was very political and he would have her go to all the presidential libraries when they were kids. And so I was down in Atlanta and she says, have you ever been to the Jimmy Carter Library? And she was on the Republican side. And I said, no. I said, but, you know, what would I don't think I'd learn anything from that. You know, I didn't vote for him or anything like that. But I went in there, and what was crazy was these libraries, and then I went to the Reagan Library after that out in California, but these libraries would show the daily calendar of these
presidents.
Of the presidents.
It's amazing.
And we're talking like, let's make a world-changing decision from 9 to 9:15. Let's make another one from 9:15 to 9:30. Let's make another one, and here's a 10-minute break. And it showed all these things in there, but it you know, I mean, it was pretty amazing. All right, to see that, you know, the way, and part of that had to do with, like what you just said, and I have the same thing going on. I'm not booking all of my appointments. All right,
you can't.
I'm what I do is I try to, you know, I have people that work with me, but they also know the things I want. They're in tune with what I'm doing. I've always said the problem people have is they have to-do list, and what you need to have is to not do list. All right, and that's what some of the things I've got, list of things I'm not doing. All right, because those are the things that, you know, don't, and I always kind of go down the path that if I were to repeat the last hour every hour, would it take me where I want to go? All right, and if that hour is repeated over and over and over again, and I just look at it and say it's not going to take me to where I want to be, then that has to go on my to not do list.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, and those are things that, you know, over, because your time is.
So you're just kind of reflecting back at the end of the day and going, I just wasted this much time.
Yeah. I mean,
this is not going to take my time tomorrow. So
So one of the things early in the early 90s, I was working night and day. All right. And I was making at that time about $300,000. And which back then, it was like in the early 90s, that was a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And considering where I was at 5 years earlier, I was like, say, my house payment was $675 a month, and I was making $300,000. And so I was making a lot of progress. And I met a guy who was one of my mentors, and he said, your system's not working. And I said, what do you mean? He said, what are your people doing? Okay. While you're out here going 14 hours a day, what are your people doing?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, and I had just come back from a trip, and I left, and we didn't do any business when I was gone. All right. And every single thing revolved around me. So I hired this company, which you've probably read the book, The E-Myth.
Mm-hmm.
But I actually hired, and at the time I got to talk to the guy, Michael Gerber, because at the time he was coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And over about a year period, he had me doing, we did 3 calls a month, and you would have a time log, and you would put a T or an S every hour. And the T was tactical today. It has no real back end to it. And the idea was, we're going to take all the tactical and ultimately delegate it, okay, and automate it. All right. So the idea is you don't have to do it anymore. So you get it. And that's today. It's very easy to automate. And then the S was the strategic hours in the day. Mm-hmm. And those were the ones that would allow you to get where you wanted to go.
To grow.
And
yeah.
And when I first got started with it, my whole day was pretty tactical.
Yeah.
And then it became more and more strategic. And then I started getting way more, you know, to the point now, it's like I do this all the time. It's like I look at my schedule and I'm like, I got one of my guys. He's very creative. He's always getting stuff going, and about 1 out of 100 of his ideas turns out to be big. So I keep, and I'm like, dude, you do it yourself. I ain't dealing with this one. This is not doing it. Okay, we'll do it. Okay, but that's the way, kind of, you know, going down that path. So,
well, it's an interesting thing for us. Like last night, we had two functions, and my staff has learned to critique. So, and it was funny, I was listening to one as I came in, what we could have done better.
Sure.
And what we did wrong. And so they'll give me their synopsis on how we can do better. And do we do it again? Was it worth it with the time, effort, money? Last night was a success, I think, all the way around. But I was here, and then they've learned, I don't really want to talk on the phone. I don't have time. So they give me voice memos.
Yeah.
And so I'm listening to voice memos, and they've got good critiques on what we should and shouldn't do and how we did. But the funny thing is early on in life, I thought I could do everything
right
by myself. So this financial guy came to me, much like yourself. And
yep.
He said, hey, you're really screwing up. And I said, I'm doing pretty well. And he said, nah, look at your bottom line. It's not really what you want. You know. So I said, okay, smart aleck. I'll give you a year to figure this stuff out. And, oh my gosh, what a change it has made in us. Now, he's not nice. I mean, he's not, he's very direct and he's very, you need to do this. You're messing up over here. But I'll tell you what, getting experts like you guys in your fields, saves me millions of dollars. It doesn't cost me their salary. They get a good, it makes me millions for their brains.
Well, what happens is you just have to ask yourself one question. If I'm doing what I'm good at, do I make more per hour doing what I'm good at than the person I'm paying?
Yep.
You know, and you talk about the financials. One of the things that I've always said about your money is, and people that you have working with you, if you know what you know now about them, the person or the expense, if you weren't already hiring that person right now, would you rehire? And if the answer is no, or if I didn't have this expense, would I go buy it again? And you say, no, well, then get rid of it. You know, that's the way to do it. So, all right, we are running out. We got one more segment. It's been great. And, Tanya,
take us out.
Take us out.
All right. You're listening to Real Money Radio. Here in studio with us is Lee Linhart, franchise owner of RE/MAX, and my wonderful co-host, Roy Matlock Jr. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Real Money Radio. Good morning, everyone. Hope you had a wonderful, blessed week. We are excited to share information today about how to start your goals, your plans, not just a dream, but how to actually put it into place, put it into schedule. And obviously our show, Roy Matlock Jr., my co-host here, is to really help people build wealth. We kind of aligned, you know, I've known him for years, respected him. We've been on the same, he's got his own show, I've got my own show. And I really just last year, we kind of came together and said, okay, I really know real estate really well, but I don't know what you do really well. Like, I want to learn that. And I need to protect the money that I'm making. And so that is something that, you know, we both have a passion to educate people. And so what we've been talking about on the show today is entrepreneurship. How did you get started? What do you do? And so Lee Linhart is with us here and really shared a story in the opening. And if you missed it, you can check it out on our podcast, but realmoneyradio.info to get more information as well. But we've talked about how to start, where we grew up, how we got into the business. And it goes down to sometimes I just call it the grind or the discipline to be able to do the day-to-day that you do. And then as you start growing your business, we take out what you call the TNS. We do too much tactical stuff.
Right.
And where do we do strategy and skill set? And then it goes to, as you're growing or trying to get rid of the tactical things, what about hiring the right people? Because hiring the wrong person can take you back 10 steps versus moving you forward if you hire the right person 10 steps. So, Lee, kind of give us some of your wisdom around that since you're building and growing at a big pace.
It is. And I'll tell you what, that is probably one of the most challenging things to do. And it was funny, when I took over the Knoxville office, they had a pace. Everybody has a pace in their business. And our pace, we run a tight ship. We are not staff heavy. Everybody is cross-trained. If something happens to one of them within one of our firms, the other can step in and take over. So I remember telling Kim Aldridge, who I adore, and has been Broker of the Year in the state of Tennessee, I said, you're going to have to learn the LRG method, and you're going to have to move. And she's like, I don't know what you're talking about. I said, you will, or you won't be here. Mm-hmm. And so she has learned it beautifully. She works. She has a staff person that works with her. And they move. They will move mountains in a day.
Mm-hmm.
So it was funny. The other day she said, do you remember telling me, you know, about the pace and the LRG? Yeah, that person's not doing it. I said, no, I know. I can't fire him instantly. But but it is, and we expect a lot from our staff. We pay well. There are some owners out there, not knocking anybody, they pay trash. Mm-hmm. They will pay brokers no money. They'll pay their staff no money. But I came up in the baseball world. If you're worth it and you're my marquee player, I'm paying you what you're worth.
Well, yeah. You need to be fearful of losing good people.
Yep.
And, I mean, I've always said that the If you don't worry about losing them, then you should let them go to begin with.
Yep.
And I mean, that's, you know, I've got two of my key people. They're coming in actually this week, and we're doing a planning session. They've been with me 15 and 18 years, and let me tell you, they are valuable. And the last thing I'm going to do is let somebody snatch them up because, you know, I'm not treating them right and not, you know, putting and I give them a piece of the action, you know. So every time I have new ideas that they're the implementer's own, I give them a piece of the action. And then that way they got their own business within a business. And so, yeah.
Well, it is, and it is so easy for somebody to throw more money. Whether I've seen people do that that can't afford it, and I know they can't afford it, but they're trying to get the knowledge base or whatever. But I do believe people are worth what they're worth.
Right.
Trying to get somebody to do a job that is extremely important in any position, and paying them chicken feed is not the way to do it, and it's not going to build loyalty. It's going to build disgust. They're going to be distrust and that kind of stuff.
And let me say this too. One of the things too that I've always, when I was going through a lot of that Michael Gerber e-myth and all that kind of stuff, you know, one of the key elements is you got to hire the position first and then the person. A lot of mistakes are made where people say, "Well, this was a great person," but if you put them in the wrong spot, then you know it would be like me being the admin person. You know, I'm a good person, but if you depended on me to be the administration, it would be a disaster. And so you got to get the right people in the right, you know, spots, you know, to be able to get things going. So I've always tried to, you know, look at, and one of the key elements in what you were talking about, and you said what is that?
Linhart Realty Group.
Okay. All right. So I want to make sure. So you've got your system, and one of the keys to that system is there are people in your system that can do their job better than you can do their job.
By far.
And so what I always have tried to do is if I have somebody that's good at what they do, I said, look, we got to document this in a manner that, you know, if you get run over by a bus, okay, guess what? You know, we can bring somebody in and we don't lose that knowledge base, you know, for whatever reason. And what I'm doing right now, this is, and Lee, I think you'd really like this. We are working right now on a succession plan. All right, but the succession plan is not the type of succession plan that I'm planning on stopping. But what we're doing is we're taking all of the content from all of my sales and marketing, business building, all of my personal finance content, all this kind of stuff, and it's being built into an agent, an AI agent, to where if I want to if you were say a real estate agent, mine is financial, you could say, "Hey Lee, give me 10 of the best ways that you've been able to meet new people in the real estate business." And they can ask me those questions, and it literally will come back of all of my 40 years of doing things. So that's something that goes back to taking documentations of the way you do things and taking it now with the AI agents and stuff like that to where you can actually have a succession plan. You know, I mean, so anyway, that's something that.
Well,
that's
literally amazing. You know, we used to say, "Oh, that person passed away, and all the knowledge they had is gone." You're right. With AI, they're not gone. Mm-hmm. They live on forever.
Yeah,
which I love that.
I do. I think one of the things, just to going back to hiring and how to build people, but also goes to the opening of the show, learning how to communicate. So, one of my coaches years ago. I did the DISC and all these others, but I love the bold. Are you a bull, an owl, lamb, or tiger? I attract people, like I hire people like me. That's not the right thing to do. You hire the people that are opposite for you. So I'm a bull tiger.
I believe that. I can see that in.
I need owls and lambs in my everyday workplace, but they drive me crazy because but you need those people, and that is something that you grow with, not only in business, but I think too, just from talking to a client, like literally you can, by shaking someone's hand, you can tell if they're a bull, owl, tiger, or lamb, just by a handshake.
I'm a lamb.
You are not. Goodness, you're such a bull.
I'm full of bull, maybe.
But
I don't know.
You're a bull tiger, I would think. But I don't know. You've got the owl side to you, too. So that analytical side. Maybe a bull owl, but definitely a bull first. But I do think that that's important. And again, it goes back to just education. I wouldn't have known those things if I didn't hire a coach Or if I didn't research it, like you just read the E-Myth, I read the E-Myth, the book Who Moved Your Cheese. Another thing that
I think that
holds people back is change. And I'm dealing with that in my life right now. I'm like, well, for 10 years, I've done it this way. Well, hello, if you don't change, you don't grow. And sometimes you get caught into this situation mindset of, well, it worked for me for 10 years. Yes, that was 10 years ago. Like embracing AI, learning how to use that into your day-to-day business is only going to launch your business using it the right way. So I do think that personalities, that no matter what job or career that you're in, just learn how to talk to people the way that they are in their personality.
And you have to get down to their level and speak their language, and you'll win every time.
And to build the relationship.
Correct.
Yes. Yeah. All right. You want to take us out?
Yeah. So this has been great. Lee, this is the first time I got to know you a lot just in this interview. And if you're tuning in right now, Real Money Radio, Tanya and I came together to help you build wealth and to build your finances. And so if you go to realmoneyradio.info, we've got the podcast. We've got all of the links to our individual website. I do financial advisory. She is in the mortgage business and real estate business. And so reach out to us. We would be happy to get you resources. We got all kinds of things on both of the websites. So stay tuned. We'll be back next week.